You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
You're just using it tonight while you hear it. That's fine. But if you would put it on the back table, then we won't have to send somebody down through the aisles to pick them up. If you don't have a Bible and like to have one, then you keep our Bible as our gift, the rec room's gift to you. We want you to have it. It's one of those things you don't need to leave home without it, people. So if you would, we would appreciate it. Thank you again for being here. Brother Charles is going to come and sing for us.
Amen.
All right.
Amen. Well, there is one thing up here that the rec room owns. It's that keyboard right there. The rec room bought that keyboard for Miss Jolene, and boy, she does a good job playing it, doesn't she? Give her a hand up there. Now, there's about four other things up here that belong to the rec room on account of we want to belong to the rec room. That's me, that's Jolene, that's Miss Dolores, that's John, and that's Kenny right there. We all belong to the rec room. We don't want to be anywhere else on Thursday night except right here where y'all are. And we love being here and we appreciate you coming. Even if you didn't know you was coming or where you was coming, we hope you enjoy being at the rec room. We try to make it fun. It's kind of like church, but then again, it ain't church. So we try to make it fun. The music especially, we want you to have a good time, and we appreciate you joining in with us. This is a song our quartet recorded a few years back, and I just love doing this song. It's got a great message to it. When I said I was saved, I didn't say I was perfect. Though his tender love is no license to sin, he's leading me on, and I know I can make it. Don't get down on Jesus. Just call it my fault. It's my fault when I lie sin. Word is still true, and his grace is sufficient. A mile in my shoes, so you can get down on me, but don't get down on my Jesus. You can call it my fault if my light is dim, and his word is true. get down on my Jesus. Is sufficient. So if I stumble, oh Lord, don't blame it on Him. And you know I will stumble, but don't blame it on Him. Thank y'all. Thank you.
All right. Great message in that song, isn't it? Yeah, man alive. I like that. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. And like I mentioned a while ago, if you don't have one and would like to turn with us, lift your hand and we'll have somebody bring you some. Get your hands up and we got people coming down here. Yeah. It'd be Matthew chapter 21. And like I say, if you don't have a Bible, you just keep that one as a gift from the rec room for you. And if you're going to turn it in, and if you put it on that table at the back, let me remind you for the next few minutes now, we're locked down. We're all adults, so you can wait to go to the restroom and you don't have to go answer your cell phone and this type of stuff. We'll just be in here for a little bit and then we'll be gone. Anyhow, Matthew chapter 21. I'm only going to read a couple of verses here, 1 and 2, and then give you a little background on this situation. But it said, when they drew nigh to Jerusalem and were come to Bethany, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus 2 disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. Now let me give you a little background of what's happening here. This is the last week of Jesus' life on earth. He's going to Jerusalem. He's going to ride that donkey into Jerusalem and will be crucified. He knows this. Whether the disciples know it or not, evidently they didn't. He told them. They didn't believe it. But this has got to be a very hard, strenuous week on them. He's knowing he's getting ready to give his life. He's getting ready to die for sinners like me and you so we can go to heaven. He suffered hell for us in our place that we'd be in heaven in his place. And he sends 2 of his disciples, and it doesn't say which 2, just 2 of his disciples, to get him a donkey to ride into Jerusalem on. Now, let me give you a little background to this situation in Matthew chapter 20. I want you to look here, verse 20, Matthew chapter 20, and in verse 20, it said, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children, and her children's name were James and John. John wrote the book of John, wrote the book of Revelation, wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. James was killed by the ruler. And he said, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? And she said unto him, grant that my 2 sons may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left, in my kingdom. We'll find in the other Gospels that also James and John requested the same thing. Now, I've noticed this over the years that I've been, for 31 years, I've been going into prison and working with inmates, ex-inmates, and I never met one of them's mother that didn't want him to do good. And I get calls all the time, will you give my, out to Exeter County, will you give my son a Bible? I said, no, ma'am. Really upsets himself. Why? I said, because he didn't ask for it. Every mama wants her son to have a Bible. They all say, would you enroll my son in the Bible studies? No, ma'am. Every mama wants her son taking Bible studies, and most sons don't want to have a thing in the world to do with them, I found out. And so why waste the paper? If your son wants a Bible study, we'll be glad to give it to him. If he wants a Bible, we'll be glad to give it to him. But it's going to have to be his choice. But she said, see that we want our kids. She said, "Would she didn't ask it for herself. She said, I want my two boys, one to sit on your right hand and one to sit on your left when you come into your glory. I want them to look up there and say, look who's sitting by Jesus. Man, that's James and John. They're big deals. They're at the right and left hand of Jesus Christ. Most of us want that prestige. Most of us want to be seen. All of us love the sound of our own voice. And so said, I want that. I found out this over the years. There's a lot of showboats in the ministry. A lot of people that just want to get attention. And this is what she wanted. Now, I want you to look down at verse 24. And we're leaving a bunch of things out. But it said when the ten heard it. Remember, that's James and John there too. Jesus has got 12 apostles. When the other ten, here's what's going on. Said they were moved with indignation against the two brethren, James and John. They didn't like it. This is causing some conflict. They don't want that. Instead of being concerned about Jesus Christ, two guys want to be up front and the other ten don't want them to be. Instead of being concerned about the death of Jesus Christ, we get a lot of people that come and want to speak, want to sing, want to do something of prestige and record. Let me say this. I ask three questions when people come. I have this pretty often. I ask three questions. Number one, where are you going to church? And guys tell me, and mostly guys, so, well, I don't have a church. Well, that's like telling me you're a ball player, but you don't have a team. You must not be much of a ball player if nobody lets you on a team. Where are you going to church? Number two, where are you working? You know how many ex-inmates are trying to get on disability? I heard about one old boy said, if Jesus were to come back, he'd run from Jesus and say, don't heal me, don't heal me. I'm trying to get disability. Trying to get somebody else to pay our way. And then the third question is, where are you serving Christ? Like we're talking about serving. Putting on a show is not serving. Years ago, we don't have this anymore. We got too used to air conditioning. But when I was a young man, even in my early 20s, we still had out in the country communities brush arbor meetings. And I mean it's usually after they'd brought the crops in for the year, and it'd be around the first of the summer. And they just have a good old-fashioned brush arbor meeting. How revival brush arbor. I mean the flies and the mosquitoes and the gnats. But you was right out there in it. Everybody was fanning because of heat. But a lot of folks got saved. Had some great preaching. And then they were having one of these down in Central Texas. And every night, the town drunk, and a womanizer would come to the altar and he'd say, "Oh God, fill me. Fill me, Lord." And every night of that meeting, he was down at that altar. "Oh Lord, fill me." After the revival, he's back being the town drunk and a womanizer. Next year, same thing happens. "Oh Lord, fill me." And this goes on for about 5 years. He's only living for God during the 2 weeks of the Rush Harbor meeting, and the rest of the time he's living like the devil. And then he comes down on film about the fifth year. No cowboy standing at the back. He said, "Oh Lord, fill me." No cowboy jumped up and said, "Don't, God, he's got a leak." I noticed there's a lot of leaking Christians. Let me tell you three things, and I've entitled this, "Who's Going to Get the Donkey?" Number one, somebody has to go get the donkey. Somebody had to do a lot of stuff to prepare for this meeting. Somebody cleaned up the butt cans, made sure they're ready to go. Somebody put them out, and somebody will pick them up and take them in. This great music we've had tonight with these musicians didn't just happen. They had to get here early and get things ready. The people at the back on the sound system and the video. Rick Dockenham mentioned a while ago, XN Mate. Rick does the video for us that's put on the internet. And Rick buys his camera. All of that stuff, by and large, Rick got himself. He purchased for that. I go to him, I said, "Rick, let us help you." "No, I got it. We got people that put money in that box for you that don't know you, don't have a clue, but they do it because that's something they can do. Or maybe they're just giving back because they've been a recipient of it. The Rec Room doesn't loan money. We give, and if you want to give it back, that's your business. But we don't loan. We're not a bank. We don't loan money. We give. We got people that put the ropes up. We got people that work back here in the refreshment deal, getting the ice, pouring the drinks, getting stuff ready, buying it and bringing it here. We got all kind of things going on that people are just getting the donkey. Getting a donkey is not a great big deal, is it? You didn't have to have a master's degree to go get the donkey. You didn't have to have a lot of Bible knowledge to go get the donkey. Somebody's got to go get that donkey. Christ sent two. You know what I think, really? The two, it doesn't name him, but he sent two to go get that donkey. You know what? I think he sent James and John. You want to be a big deal? Here's what we do. Go get the donkey. "Well, I wanted to preach." "No, you go get the donkey." "Okay." "Well, I wanted to lead." "No, you go get the donkey." That's what we do. See, getting the donkey means Jesus doesn't have to walk. You're doing something for Jesus. First thing is somebody's got to go get the donkey. Number two, getting the donkey is obeying Jesus. What did he say over here? He sent them here. "Then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me." This is obeying Jesus. What did he tell you to do? See, we all want to be something big. And that's not the way you start. If you're going to obey Jesus, I remember one of the Christian deputies running right after I started in the jail ministry. many, many years ago, and we were down at the old jail. And I was talking to him, and I was new at it, and I was asking for some advice. But I knew this guy was a good Christian guy and been around a long time. And he told me, he said, "Leland, let me tell you something. People can serve Jesus in jail as well as they can the free world." What am I saying? Everybody's going to do something when they get out. Well, I'll tell you this time, I'm really going to straighten up. Well, we'll know that in about a year. Well, I tell you, I can do this. We'll know that in about a year. It's not how high you jump, people. It's how straight you walk when you come down. And let me say this. If you're doing good, somebody will know it. You know that? Somebody will vouch for you. Somebody will say, "This person is serving Jesus." There'll be somebody. You can have somebody that can vouch for you. You know, the job of getting a donkey is not a profession, not a calling. It's just doing what is needed at the moment. Somebody's got to get the donkey. What is needed at the time? It's not a continuing deal. It won't be something you do tomorrow and the next day and so forth. It's just what Jesus needs today, we're willing to do. You willing to go get the donkey? I know there's not any prestige in it. But if you're going to serve Jesus, you'll learn to go get the donkey. I mentioned a while ago that the second question I ask people is where are you working? You know what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, if you want to mark this. He said, if you don't work, you don't eat. Well, but we got programs now. We got different stuff. If you're not willing to work, then you won't be willing to work for Jesus. See? Yeah. These people that jump in and get with it, whatever they need to do. The bus drivers, they have to get up here early. They stay late. Nearly everybody involved in loops comes early, stays late, trying to get things done. And because of that, let me tell you, because of them getting a donkey, we had 98 people saved last year in the rec room. And it wasn't because of any big deal. It was because a whole bunch of people prayed. Our altar workers that come. When somebody comes down, we're not just going to say, "Praise God, glory, hallelujah." We're going to say, "Let me show you in the Bible." Whatever their needs are, we got some people that are trained to do that, know how to do that, and will come. And everybody else here tonight can be home watching TV. They don't have to be here. Nobody's paid to get this done. Goodness. They're just getting a donkey is obeying Jesus. And then the third thing I noticed about this, I think this is interesting. Getting the donkey was never... Jesus never asked strangers to get him the donkey. He asked friends. Jesus never asked somebody that's not his to do anything for him. Because there's not anything you can do. See, when Jesus came, he didn't come start church. He didn't come start the rec room. He didn't come to write a Bible. He didn't come start a religion. You know why Jesus came? The Bible says. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came and died on that cross and suffered hell for me that I might go to heaven. And he did the same thing for you. That's why he came, was to get people saved. I know there's a lot of work for Christians to do, and there's the praying and the studying and the giving and the service and all kinds. We got people in our classes that volunteer their time. Once a week, we go to a class, Clover House, Turning Point, Parole Office, just to help people, to help many of you. They want to give that time. They want to see you be saved. That's the only reason we do it. There's no other reason. Jesus Christ gave his life for us. The Bible said that while we were yet sinners, not while we was trying to straighten up and do better. And Lord, I promise you this time I won't mess it up. Yeah, right. But he said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While I was running amok, living like the devil, Jesus Christ told the Father, I'm shedding my blood for Leland. He also, you can put your name there too. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He gives us heaven. He gives us what we don't deserve and takes away what we do deserve. I want you to bow your heads for a moment. Nobody looking around, heads bowed, eyes closed. You're here tonight, and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Would you say, Leland, pray for me? My life is wrecked. My life is miserable, and I don't care how happy you're acting on the outside, you know. Many a times, nobody knows this, but many a times you cried yourself to sleep. Things have just gone wrong. And you say, Leland, would you pray for me? I want to find that joy, that hope, that peace. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip up your hand? Nobody looking around. God bless you. I see your hand. Yes, yours, sir. Yours, yes. You can slip them up and put them back down. Yes, I see your hand. Our Father, you've seen these hands. Men, women. In a moment, we're going to give them the opportunity to bring it to you. And one of these workers will give them the answer. We pray that you give them the courage to step out for you. You said, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You've always done that. You've never turned away an honest inquirer. So, Father, right now, may your Holy Spirit deal with these hearts. Those that didn't raise their hand, but know they should have. And when we stand, we pray on the first verse, they will come and trust Christ as their Savior and turn it over to Him. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Would you stand? Head still bowed, eyes still closed. And on the very first verse, will you come and say, I trust Jesus as my Savior.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.